Hi, this is Ken Arnold from the Night Watchman, and you are listening to Extra Features Podcast.
Hello, welcome back to a extra special episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. My name is Kevin.
I'm Simon, enjoying the football.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Doug, and I don't watch football.
And so it's time for us to go to another galaxy far, far away. For our regular, semi-regular Star Wars review episode.
I think this is all you're doing, Kevin. I don't think anybody really wants to do a Star Wars episode.
I'm long-winded when it comes to Star Wars and ends up dominating for a good chunk.
Oh, we know. I remember Avengers Endgame, 35 minutes of Kevin.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was an awesome movie.
All Marvel movies, all Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
No, he didn't talk that much about Captain Marvel.
So this is it, guys. This is Chapter 9 of the Skywalker saga. Did everybody get a chance to catch it?
I did.
Oh, yes.
Do you want me to start with the cast list?
Sure.
Okay, I'll just do the cast list. Directed by J.J. Abrams, starring Daisy Ridley, Adam Driver, Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, Carrie Fisher, and archive footage. Anthony Daniels, Domino Gleeson, Richard E. Grant, and Kerry Russell. And Kelly Mary Tran, who gets side. Who doesn't get any screen time?
So who wants to kick it off?
You are going to.
I want to also just last because I'll talk forever. You might as well get your points out.
I don't have a lot. Okay, I will start. I was disappointed.
Why were you disappointed?
I got bored. I just didn't. Just so many nodding to other films. Chewie's medal annoyed me. If you're going to try to kill off Chewie, I'm going to spoil everything, people, so just if you haven't seen it while you're here. If you're going to kill off Chewie, why do you bring him back 30 seconds later? Oh, I guess it was the wrong ship. Really?
My theory on that was that this was essentially designed to be a two-film sequence. They were moving towards that, and that would have been the midpoint of the film when Chewie apparently blows up. And I think that would have been a great cliffhanger had they chosen to do two movies. Because literally the audience is in on the fact that Chewie was not on that shuttle 5 minutes after it happens.
Well, that's my biggest problem. I'm like, what was the point of that?
I don't know.
I had problems with that. I thought they should have just cut Princess Leia or start off with a funeral off the top. Sure, all her scenes were terrible. I mean, it didn't make any sense. I mean, she died. I get it. Let's move along. We could have done something else. I didn't really enjoy seeing Palpatine back. I got to admit, I much preferred Snoke. But Johnson took him out, so I was like, okay. I mean, it is a Star Wars movie. It looks like a Star Wars movie. I didn't find it overall interesting. I mean, it has nice special effects. I did like the starships, but I thought the end was really hokey. Oh, get that ship. Not for me. And, I mean, I never liked these characters. Other than Poe, I don't think anybody can act. Daisy Ridley's terrible. I think John Boyega, I never liked him. I enjoy C-3PO, but we take away his memories and give them back to him. Really? What was the point of that? None. I always enjoy R2. I don't know. I have a lot of issues. Like, a ton with this film. I didn't find it interesting. I mean...
Yeah, I'm a bit of the opposite of you. I actually like this new trinity. I like Daisy Ridley. I like John Boyega. I think that Oscar Isaac, I think he's probably one of the best actors, one of the most underrated actors around today. I like the three of them together. I think anytime those three characters were together, or any of the two of the three were together, it was a lot of fun. I think the problems were when they got split up, but I really liked the three of them.
Dan?
Yeah, I like those three too. I think with the whole Chewbacca thing, I think that's just the movie being, J.J. Abrams being scared to take risks. It's like, oh, we'll take a risk by killing Chewbacca, but it's like, we don't want to piss off the fans again. He's still alive, don't worry.
Yeah, there's my problem, not taking risks. You hit it exactly on the head. There's no risk taking in this film.
No, and it's like it doesn't take any time to develop a story. It's just like nonstop action. So if you like that, it's fine. But yeah, I was disappointed too. But I'm not a big Star Wars fan, so I'm not like mad disappointed, like mad angry that I'm disappointed. It's just, you know, you expect a Star Wars film to be better, but I still like the characters, and Adam Driver's good. It was fine. Like the Twitter poll, it was fine.
The problem with that, though, is when you say it doesn't take chances, I thought The Last Jedi did take chances, and they got excoriated by the fans.
I like Last Jedi better, and I said that, and I'm going to stick to that. I thought it took chances.
Yeah, I
enjoyed all that. I liked everything. I will give John Boyega one. He's a bit of a slut doing Rose and then trying to do Rey, and now he's doing the new Lando's daughter chick.
Wait, Lando had a daughter in this?
Well, I think she's supposed to be Lando's daughter. I don't know. Lando's like, hey.
Which character?
So Janna, the stormtrooper, the leader of the stormtroopers who rebelled on Endor.
Oh. Did they even watch this movie?
You probably fell asleep.
So in earlier versions of the film, reportedly, they had scenes where Lando said that she was his daughter. And because he, so again, there's, well, I'll get into that later, but yeah, there was stuff that was reported to be in the film that said that she was, and like he told Finn earlier in the film that he had had a daughter and that she had been kidnapped by the First Order, and that was part of their First Order's revenge on the survivors of the Battle of Endor, was that they went after their children.
And you see, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Why didn't the movie do more of that?
I think they just cut it for time. I mean, the movie's 2 hours and 22 minutes. JJ reportedly turned in a cut in November that was 2 hours and 37 minutes. And somewhere, and this is, there's some rumors that came out earlier this week that reportedly Disney cut out another 15 minutes of stuff out of it, and JJ was surprised to find out the cut was shorter than in the theaters than what he had turned in. So,
okay.
But that's hearsay, right? He may have been maybe perfectly aware that they did that and been involved in the cut.
Yeah. I think I read something that one of the cuts had, like, more explanation for how Palpatine is back. And it's like, okay, so, like, the movie's long, but if there's stuff that explains the story better, like, I'll probably like that better.
I mean, I still think it would have worked better as two films, because I think they throw way too many quests into the film. So, you know, they got to go here, and they got to get this, and they got to go over here and get this, and they got to meet this person to get a special coin. It was like a video game, you know, like
literally, yeah,
you're all quests.
And, yeah, exactly.
I do think that, so as you know from back in the day, I had problems with The Last Jedi, and it wasn't that it took chances. It was that there was a lot of stupid things that happened in that film, particularly the fuel issue and the fact that the First Order seemed to have forgotten that they had warp capability and they could have just zipped ahead and destroyed the Rebel fleet in like 2 seconds, and the fact that Finn and Rose take off in a jump ship successfully, hyperspacing away from the fleet, and not relaying that fact back to the fleet to say, oh, by the way, hop in your jump ships and hyperspace away and leave them chasing empty husks. Like, things like that bothered me. It just seemed like everybody forgot what they were doing and acted really stupid. But I did like the idea of Luke turning away from the Force. I just didn't like the fact that he phoned in his heroic performance and died as a result of it.
I want to go back to something. Kevin, one more stupid thing. In this film, what did they do with Hux? They made him a chump.
They did.
Oh, my God. Why did you even introduce this character 2 films ago? You turned him into a punk.
Well, they turned him into a punk in the second film, and then even worked in this one.
Oh, he was a chump. I'm like, this is a waste of my time.
Now, on the flip side, I love Richard E. Grant's character.
Oh, so do I. This Richard E. Grant. He's great. The bomb man. Dom Hill Greasy, well, he, like, wipes his car at best.
I mean, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, didn't they basically combine, like, Hux's character traits and, like, a bit of Kylo Ren's character traits for, like, for the end? So it's like, oh, Kylo doesn't want to do this anymore. Like, oh, we have a Richard E. Grant who's confused. Like, he feels like he should have been there for the whole trilogy, but he's just here now. Well, and, I mean, he's good.
Right.
But
you're right, because The Last Jedi dug them into the hole that everybody had chosen their sides. Kylo Ren was now supreme leader of the First Order. He was the bad guy. He was set up to be the villain for the third film. So J.J. comes back and spends, I would say, a good half an hour undoing a lot of things that Last Jedi set up.
Just a bit.
Yeah, and sure. One of those things was to suddenly make Kylo Ren conflicted again. He had made his choice. He'd made his decision. He was going to be, he was full on dark side leader of the First Order. So now he's suddenly conflicted and he wants to be with Rey and turn her to his side and all that stuff. So you had to have someone who was competent in the First Order to take leadership so that otherwise the First Order wouldn't matter. If Kylo Ren decided that suddenly, well, I'm a good guy, I'm going to go back and I'm going to turn the resources of the First Order towards the Republic and restoring order, he can't do that. He needs to have someone there who's, first off, he needed another villain to lead that. So you had a military commander. And then since Snoke was dead, we had to have another evil dark side person. So they Norman Osborned in the Emperor to bring him back from the dead. And be the big bad for the film. So I think when it's all desperate, there's no other villain of the level of the Emperor that could have been brought in if you're turning Kylo Ren good.
Yeah.
So they really kind of dug themselves into a hole. Now, on a whole, I didn't hate the film because I knew what was going to happen before I went in. So I had time to deal with the stupid things about it. So I just took it as an enjoyable, stupid Star Wars movie, which most of them are on some level. They're just big, dumb space fantasy films, and I love them for it.
Okay.
And so this one I didn't hate. I enjoyed parts of it. There are things that I thought could have been improved. Like, I think if Disney had let them split it, which is what Terrio and JJ wanted to do, then they could have had more exposition, more time for the characters to grow. I mean, people are complaining that Rose Tico did nothing in this film. And literally there's a scene where Finn walks by and says, hey, we're going on an adventure. You want to join us? And she goes, no, I have to go help Leia. And it's like, and he's like, oh, well, you know, friend claps her on the shoulder, friend zones her, and you get the sense that, nope, nothing's happening there. There was never a chance. Finn was never going to have a romance with her. And she's sidelined to work with, you know, one of the hobbits.
And, it's like, you know, the woman from Family Guy, like, no, I stay.
Now, I do think that there was, again, a lot of, hey, Chewie died. No, he didn't die. Hey, C-3PO had his memory wiped. And there was some great humor there. I thought C-3PO, this was the best film for C-3PO in the 9 films. I think he has the most screen time. He has some of the best lines in the film. Some of the best jokes. His interactions. Oh, this is my oldest friend, Babu Frick. Who he came up like 10 minutes before.
Like, Babu Frick.
Yeah. People seem to love Babu Frick for some reason.
Who is Babu Frick again?
He was a little guy.
Yeah.
He just had memory block.
He's this movie's porgies, right? Or whatever they were called in Last Jedi.
Voiced by the actress that was Moaning Myrtle in the Harry Potter movies.
What?
Somebody gave her some more work, did they?
Yeah.
I like her.
And then there's Dio, the new droid that's introduced.
Oh, he's a piece. What's the point of him? Useless.
I don't know. Just more merchandise.
Guys,
he's JJ. JJ does the voice of Dio.
Yes.
I got to get in here somehow. But, like, I don't get – Finn's a slot. Are we supposed to take that? Like, he's doing everybody.
Is he? He's not doing anybody.
He tried to do Rose. He tried to do Ray. And now he's with that Lando's daughter.
So I think there's
– sorry, Kevin. Go ahead.
Sorry. I mean, he's obviously – he has some connection with Ray. And I don't know if you noted the whole thing where he had something to tell her. But he doesn't ever tell her. You know, he's dying. He's like, Ray, I have to tell you something before I die. And then he never tells her. So there was quite a bit of debate online of what was it he was going to tell her. A lot of people said, oh, he's going to tell her that he loves her or something like that. No, he was going to tell her that he has the Force. He's Force sensitive.
He's going to tell her he's a player. Yeah. Because he's going to play.
Yeah. The Rose thing was never going to happen, apparently. He didn't have any interest there. Apparently, there was a lot of fighting that both Boyega and Oscar Isaac wanted to actually have hints that there was a romantic relationship between Finn and Poe.
Really?
And, yeah, and Disney kind of snapped that down and said, nope, I don't think we want that.
I wouldn't want that either. I don't think. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't bug me, but I could see that being an issue.
No, yeah, it wouldn't bug me, but, you know, Disney's like, no, hard pass.
No, can't have that. And no.
So they kind of implied, so that's one of the reasons why they introduced Kerry Russell's character. Corey Bliss, or whatever it is.
Yeah, the one that's always in a mask, right?
Yeah. See, you see her eyes in one scene. A lot of people were felt that that character was a complete waste of time. Like
I think so.
Did she just do it to get a paycheck because she gets a percentage of the box office or something like that? Maybe. I think that obviously she was introduced to show that Poe had a past and that he may have had romantic relationships in the past.
Poe likes women.
Yes, exactly. Poe's not gay. But I also think that there was probably more with her that was cut.
For sure there was.
Yeah. And that whole thing with the magic coin that will get her on first order passes, that seems so stupid. It was like desperate.
Yeah, it's like a Monopoly card. Like this,
yeah, exactly. Anyway. You have a get out of jail free card.
Yeah. So I had a question, Kevin. If you, like, I don't know what extent you read before, but, like, if you hadn't read, like, the synopsis or whatever, what have you been, how angry would have you been watching this? Just, like, or if you could guess, I guess.
I would have been extremely disappointed with the resolution.
Okay.
To be honest, because the fact that we've introduced Force healing has been around in Star Wars literature for a long time. So, but like literally that weekend on The Mandalorian and then in this movie, we have Force healing. And, so there was some stuff that was left out with the Ben Solo Force healing scene on the wreckage of the Death Star. So apparently there's a longer sequence that showed that when Rey Force healed him, she actually cured him of the dark side. So, which is why Leia dies sacrificing herself to bring that memory out so that Kylo realizes, like, she connects to his emotions and the fact that he's still there, that Ben Solo's still in the background. I think that wasn't particularly clear. I think Leia just dies and then Han appears. But that was something that in the longer sequence was made more clear, was that she used the Force to reach out, and then that like Luke, it killed her to sort of reach out and try to bring the good side out of Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't clear, but I think I got, like, the sense that, like, oh, she's, like, doing something that takes so much power, I guess.
Yeah, or she was heartbroken or something.
Yeah.
So once he's cured by Rey, in fact, his scar disappears that he had earlier. So if you, I don't know if you go back to see it, the scar on his face is gone as well. So at the end, when he shows up, and they do, again, I don't know what you guys thought of. A lot of people were mixed on the force passing stuff that they did, where she hands him the lightsaber through the force.
Oh, I saw it. You forgot this. You shouldn't throw it away.
But that was set up, in a sense, by Ryan in the previous film, when his fingers were wet, or the rain from Octo would appear on him, and things like that.
That was a cool shot.
Mm-hmm. The fact that, so I didn't mind him falling into the pit and coming back, but that she was dead, and then he revives her only to die, to me seemed like a cop. It was like, I almost wish he had survived instead of Rey. But I know we couldn't do that because Rey's the hero of the story.
I was going to say, how could he really survive, though? How could you redeem that character?
Well, and she
killed that would need a whole other trilogy.
Yeah, exactly. We would need a follow-up. So in a sense, it's like, okay, he's good now, he saves her life, and then he disappears. To me, the tougher question would have been, or the more awkward situation would have been, and here's Ben Solo, who's come back to the good side, and he's going to make amends for all that he's done wrong. And he's going to help dismantle what's left of the First Order. That would have been more of a challenge, I think, than just letting him pass, fade away into a force ghost.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, sorry, running and then, just feels like a cop-out.
Yeah, and then the whole Emperor thing with his space lightning and riding horses on Star Destroyers and stuff like that. Reading that on paper, I was groaning, but on the screen, it was like, on screen, it's done well. I mean, this is the thing between reading something and spoiling it and actually seeing a film and saying, you know what, on paper, it sounds ridiculous and stupid, but on screen, it still is ridiculous and stupid, but it's executed so well, you're like, yeah, I can live with this. It's just, again, it's Star Wars space battles. You got to have all the shit show off, and you got to have moments of crisis, and they really build those Star Destroyers poorly that only one can have them. Navigation beacon at one time to rise out of the water and all that stuff. It was just like one stupid MacGuffin after another. We got to chase this. We got to take this ship out. We got this code. But that was the theme of that film. And so overall, I didn't mind it. I would give it like a 6 out of 10.
That's what I gave it.
That's what I gave it.
And I just think, I can't go give this film credit. It's beautiful to look at. I mean, they spent a lot of money on these films.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks good. I mean, and the storyline, I mean, had a lot of, I'm not going to give it more than a 6. It's Star Wars. I expect a lot from it.
Right.
But I got to give it credit. Set design's nice. Now let's get back to something we haven't discussed. Greg Grunberg.
Yes.
Is there a point to him in this film other than, oh, look, it's Greg Grunberg. He hangs out with the director.
He's JJ's good luck charm.
That's about it.
I was happy to see he survives. And he wasn't dead.
Survived what?
But then he does.
A Golden Corral buffet?
Oh, he's getting bigger by the day, yes.
Like, holy crap, the guy's been there for a week.
That's where he was when the attack on the base was. He was at a Mandarin bus.
Holy crap, buddy. I mean, I like you as an actor, but you got to stop.
Yeah, they cut out the scene of him, like, chewing on a burger, like, taking it out of his mouth and then running to help everyone.
He has a run. He sort of moves slaunchers.
Yeah, there was...
Crawls.
There was a comic book series that's canon that was released between Last Jedi and this movie, which explained that the X-Wing fighter pilot, the squadron that Poe leads, is on a mission to go and find allies.
And they find him?
But he leads the mission.
No, he doesn't.
And brings them back. That's why there are more rebels on that planet with them helping out than there were at the end of, you know, the 20 people in the Millennium Falcon at the end of Last Jedi.
He was leading a telethon at the Golden Ranch Corral for all you can eat, is what he was doing. That's where they found them all.
I have a lore question about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know a lot about the deep lore and stuff. That's more my son's speed. But when Poe says that he was a spice runner, was spice mentioned in Star Wars before? Because I immediately jumped to Dune, and now I'm thinking Dune and Star Wars are in the same universe.
Potentially. Han Solo also ran spice.
Okay.
As a smuggler. So the reason why Jabba the Hutt put out a death thing on Han Solo was that Han was carrying a load of spice, which are drugs.
Okay, thank you.
To Tatooine, and the Imperials were chasing him, so he dumped the spice, and that lightened the ship, and he escaped.
Okay.
And so he owed Jabba essentially for the loss of all the drugs. And so that was the thing. So that's where spice fits in. It's essentially like cocaine or whatever.
Okay, so it's not from worms that help with intergalactic travel.
No.
No.
Okay.
Jabba's a drug lord?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a crime lord.
Okay. I haven't watched the original trilogy for like a couple of years. Okay. Forgot then.
The Kessel Run and the spice mines of Kessel are they basically one of the things they're doing is they're mining. They're not just mining fuel like they showed in Solo, but they also mine drugs there from the ground or whatever it is.
Fascinating. So, okay.
Yeah.
That makes much more sense to me now. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
It's like, wow, he's doing pepper. Like, what? Yeah, I was kind of confused on what significant.
The spices, the life.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spice life. So let me ask you guys, now we have 9 Skywalker saga films. Were you happy with the way this wrapped up?
No.
Did you like the new trilogy at all?
No.
I liked the new trilogy, but I was hoping for more Force ghosts than just Luke and Leia. I wanted everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And not just voices.
I'm not a huge Star Wars fan. I liked Force Awakens and Last Jedi. Like this is fine, but it's just kind of underwhelming, I guess. And it just didn't seem like they had like a big plan, which seems to be a common complaint too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they wrote all 3 movies at the same time. That really feels disjointed a lot.
No, they didn't.
Yeah.
Because I think Rian Johnson was originally going to write Episode 9 when Colin Trevorrow was going to direct it. But then Rian Johnson doesn't like writing for other directors, so he said, if I'm not going to direct it, I'll kindly back out and let somebody else write it. So, no, there was no plan. I think this trilogy does lack one signifying voice.
Yeah.
Agreed. And I think that it was like a relay race. It was essentially, okay, I did my film. Here you go. You pick up on what I did, and you can go wherever you want. And then the next guy will finish it up and wrap it up. And so what you get is you get Rian Johnson's film, in some cases, undoing setup that J.J.'s film set up, like the things with Snoke and Luke and all that stuff. And then the third film was like J.J. trying to restore the stuff that Rian kind of put down so that he can bring back the things that he had in mind. If J.J. was a person that actually knew how to finish a story, he might have actually indicated going into it, this is the direction I had for it. Instead, he just said, no, you guys do whatever you want. And so I think that was a problem. And Colin Trevorrow, from what I understand, since Rian wasn't going to write the last part, Colin sat down with a writing team, and they had a hard time coming up with a plan or how to deal with Star Wars after Last Jedi. And one of the fights they had was they wanted Luke to live so he could be part of the third film. And that was a fight that he lost. Kathleen Kennedy overruled it. So he quit. Then they fired him.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. Well, they said they removed him from the project, but he just couldn't do it. He completely disagreed with the decision to kill Luke, is my understanding, and some of the things in Last Jedi that he just felt were a bad place for him to start the film with. It's kind of hard to get himself out of that hole with the room. The Resistance is like 20 people and the Millennium Falcon and Luke is dead and there's nothing. Like, Kylo Ren has won. He won the whole fight.
Yeah, it's like a relay race, but instead of a baton, it's a Rubik's Cube that no one can solve.
Basically, yeah. So basically, like, in a sense, I think this is like two films in one. I think this is like JJ's episode 2 and 3 crashed into 1 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah, so like how like Evil Dead 2 kind of remade Evil Dead, and then it's like, okay, now this is how the story continues.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Evil Dead 2 is the 20-minute recap of the first movie as a comedy.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is why I hardly ever watch Evil Dead 1, and I love Evil Dead 2.
Fair enough.
So Force Ghosts is interesting because the Force Ghost sequence was supposed to be, and again, the rumor is that they shot this, and they didn't do it, is that Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, Samuel Jackson, Mark Hamill, and some other characters came in and shot a scene where they formed a line of defense in front of Rey, blocked the Emperor's power, and then they're saying, rise, Rey, rise, and you know, you have our help, you have our support. And apparently they decided not to use it because in China, where the film bombed, they don't like to use ghosts in films. There's a cultural dislike of ghosts. So from my understanding is they decided not to use the Force Ghosts Save the Day, and just go with the Force voices telling her to get up. So, I don't know.
I like to have seen that. Maybe I would actually like this film a little bit more. I doubt it.
Here we go. This is what they said. The ending that will blow your mind. Older actors included Hayden, Ewan, and Samuel, and anyone who wasn't in an animated film. The Force Ghosts weren't meant to be voices because they shot footage on camera with the actors in costume. Rey was supposed to be surrounded by the Force Ghosts to serve as a sort of barrier between her and the Sith. Now, my source thinks, but can't 100% confirm that this is true because of China. It's office talk of sorts. VFX people claim they got a list of approved shades of blue that they could use on the Force Ghosts. Cutting it out was when the bad blood turned into a nightmare for JJ because the movie he was making was suddenly unrecognizable because that's not the sequence that he wanted to do. So that might be baloney, but I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know what to say. I mean, what do we have to look forward to, Kevin? Like, we're supposed to start a whole new trilogy now? Do I need that? Like, I haven't been impressed with the last 6 films at all.
I think when it comes down to it, we've got the 9 Skywalker films. And whether they ended successfully or not for you, we have The Mandalorian. We have Obi-Wan coming. We have the Cassian Andor series coming. We have Clone Wars coming. One of the rumors that came was out last week as well was that they're doing a sequel to Rebels with Ahsoka Tano and Sabine Wren, the Mandalorian girl that was part of the Rebels crew. So they want to go into the unknown territories to see if they can find Ezra Bridger, the main kid character from Rebels. He was transported to the far reaches with Grand Admiral Thrawn. So the thought is that they're going to do this series that's going to pick up on that. It's going to be the quest for Ezra.
But who is
this? Which will be a great series.
A movie about a character? I don't even know who it is.
No, this would be an animated TV show that's a sequel to another animated sequel series that's on Disney Plus that you can watch.
So I'm not going to watch that. So what's the point?
I'm going to watch it. I love those shows. They're great. Lots of Star Wars content is coming, and it's all centered in and around the existing 9 films. And I also think that they could pick up and take these characters. Like John Boyega said, famously, they're not Disney Plusing me, in that he doesn't want to be in a Disney Plus series of Finn. But they could take some of the characters. They could do a Poe Dameron as the Spice Runner TV show, like the early days of Poe Dameron, and have Kerry Russell appear in it. And that might be the setup for why they introduced that character, to use them in future stuff.
Okay.
Let me help Boyega out. His career ain't doing that well. I'll see you on Disney Plus.
I know you're not a fan of John Boyega, and you're right. His Detroit didn't do that. I think some other films he did
Detroit
didn't do that well.
Detroit was terrible.
But I love Detroit.
Attack the Block was great.
Oh, yeah.
His first film. I hated Attack the Block, so continue.
Oh, that was fun. Your doppelganger's in that one, I think.
He is.
Yeah, Nick Frost.
He is my doppelganger.
Wait, that's your other doppelganger?
Yeah, he's way fatter than me, though. I don't know why Kevin's going on about it.
He's gotten much bigger, yeah.
I can't remember that one that I always talk about.
He's Grunberg himself.
It's Grunberg's doppelganger now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. John Boyega did Pacific Rim 2 as well. Yeah.
Terrible.
Oh, I do have some news for you that came out today. And that's this, and it's, again, it's rumor, but reportedly the next Star Wars trilogy will take place during the High Republic era. Three movies set hundreds of years before the Skywalker saga. So you won't see any of the characters we know and love. However, Yoda could appear as part of it, as a younger character.
See, there's my problem. I want to be forward, not going backwards.
And I think that's the problem. I think they don't want to go forward. Because I think they would say, okay, what forward? The forward would be maybe Rey training the next Jedi.
No, nobody. Brand new characters. Bring back Jar Jar then.
And I don't think we need Jedi in every Star Wars movie as well.
I agree.
So, I don't know.
Would this be like a prequel trilogy?
Yeah, this would be so that there's always been talk of doing the Old Republic. So the Old Republic would be before the founding of this High Republic. So this would kind of be like the Old Republic would be thousands of years ago. The High Republic is hundreds of years before, and then the New Republic is after Return of the Jedi.
Oh man,
barely seen. Yeah, exactly. So this is a problem that they face, is they don't know what to do. And the thinking is that they'd like to do something Marvel style.
Of course.
With these films and create some characters. And I don't know, but I'm not sure. I'm not enthused by this news.
Hey, I got a great idea. Show me those bounty hunters for Empire, wherever the hell they came from.
Well, I think we're seeing that explored in Mandalorian.
We saw one of them, but I mean, they had a whole stack of them there.
No, wow. we saw IG-11, which is of the same manufacturer as IG-88.
Correct.
So we now know what the IG-88 would be like in action.
Yes.
And we did see two people of Boss's race attack the Mandalorian in episode 2 or 3. 2, I think. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Dengar, the guy with the head wrap.
Yeah.
And you know, those characters can come in, too. So Aura Singh, who's another character that was quite popular. But I think those characters might appear in Obi-Wan.
I'm fine with that.
Right? Or they could appear, like, I'm still convinced that... Well, let's talk about Mandalorian. How many of you guys have seen The Mandalorian?
I have.
I've watched the first 2 episodes.
I haven't watched it yet because I just haven't had time yet. Okay. Well, I mean, it's been out for a while, but I've just been catching up on movies.
I highly recommend it because it's much more like original trilogy Star Wars.
Okay. Yes, I agree.
And it's a... It's much slower moving and character driven. And, it plays up on the, you know, Star Wars had its roots in samurai films and westerns. And, the Mandalorian is very much a western slash samurai film with a warrior's code and you know, outposts on the edge of the frontier, that kind of thing. And I highly recommend Simon, and I've seen it, so I don't want to spoil too much, because the last two episodes I thought were fantastic.
They are amazing. They're better than the Star Wars film I watched. This film.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to say one thing about the last episode. They needed extra people, so it brought a whole ton of extra people that like to dress up as other people into that scene. You know that, right?
Well, they used the 501st for a lot of stuff.
Yes, I thought that was awesome.
I thought there's so much setup in those last two, and the fact that, I mean, there are a couple of times I squealed with joy because of some vehicles and things like that that showed up in the film.
Speeder bikes?
What's that?
When the troopers were on the bikes trying to shoot a
cannon. Well, I don't want to say too much because these guys haven't seen it. But,
I'm not ruining like anything. That one scene where they're trying to hit the can, I couldn't stop laughing.
Oh, the two stormtroopers, yeah. And there's some celebrity cameos as stormtroopers in those episodes, too.
That is correct.
And I love the villain, and I love the setup, and the weapon that he has. I won't say anything too much, but it is a major Star Wars lore weapon.
Kevin, you spoiled his gender. Oh, my God.
It could be a formerly woman. No, I don't know. Really, really, really good stuff. And, I mean, I'm convinced that Boba Fett's going to return in this show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That they're going to reveal that he survived and stuff like that, just based on some stuff that happens in the show. Not that you see him, but apparently season two will have original trilogy characters in it.
Nice.
Ooh. Yeah. So, if they can produce television shows of the same quality as Mandalorian, then Star Wars' future is bright.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the fans are excited. I think the fans are really and that's a whole other topic of question I wanted to bring up to you guys was, have you seen the fighting online about the Last Jedi people and the Rise of Skywalker factions?
Why would I read that nonsense? Bunch of geeks gave up on Fortnite for a week?
Hey, I haven't played Fortnite for a while. I've seen, on Twitter, I've seen a lot of, I just saw like an article or like a tweet recap kind of just like death threats to J.J. Abrams for like what they did with Kylo and, Rey, and just killed Kylo off.
And
they're so mad.
The Rose Tico was marginalized.
Yeah.
The stuff of the, like everyone basically, if you loved The Last Jedi, you like loved it. You probably would hate Rise of Skywalker because it undoes all the things that you may have loved about Last Jedi. And you would say Last Jedi, as you said, Simon, it was a film that was challenging and they were moving forward and they were introducing new ideas. The Rise of Skywalker is undoing that to go with safe, even the stuff that happens in the film in most cases is a sight. You know, like with Chewie and R2-D2 or C-3PO.
That's
it's true. Like, hey, he's lost his memory. He's dead, basically. Oops, psych, R2 had a backup. You know, like, but a lot of people online are just, like, I've seen a lot of passive-aggressive anger about people who love Last Jedi who just hated Rise of Skywalker. The only problem for those people is that their kids love Rise of Skywalker. Like, if you were a kid, you probably would have liked Rise of Skywalker. It's action-packed. It's got lots of aliens. It's got lots of destinations. It's a lot of stuff that I would have liked as a 10-year-old, but as an adult with a brain, it turns some of the stuff as bothersome.
I'll go you one further. My kids were the right age. They liked the prequel trilogy. They thought it was fun. Yeah. It was, you know, 90% animated, so it was, they enjoyed it. My kids liked the prequel trilogy.
There's a whole
unironically.
That love that movie, that love those movies, that they grew up with them. That's their Star Wars. So for them, 1 to 3 are the Star Wars that they grew up with.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I don't remember much about the first two prequels, but I remember going to the midnight screening of Revenge of the Sith.
Mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't have been at that, but that was pretty fun.
Yeah. And they're entertaining films. I mean, there are things that if you love the original movies, you may have problems with the prequels, but there's a lot of stuff. And the one thing, when I ranked the trilogies on my Facebook page, so I felt that the original trilogy still stands up as the best because it's the most human and most down-to-earth, I would say, of the trilogy. And the second one I ranked was the prequel trilogy, not because of dialogue and things like that. There's some stuff that's just groan-worthy. But it had a cohesive story. It had a strong beginning, middle, and end. It was the three-act structure. Even though he threw a lot into those films, there's still, you come out of that with the story of Anakin. This is how he became Darth Vader. This is exactly what those trilogy films set out to tell you, that story. We introduced some new locations. We got to see the Jedi in action. All that stuff, you may die when you hear the dialogue. But it's something that the new trilogy, I felt, failed in because of that baton passing, lack of vision. There are things I find I enjoy about the new trilogy, but, the acting, I like those characters. I agree with Doug completely that they work best when they're together on screen. And that was a problem with the second film, separating them. I don't know. I'm just talking again. Sorry.
Oh, we know. You like to talk. I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm done. I think this is it for Star Wars for me. I really don't want to see another film. I'm done. I haven't liked the last six films at all.
Now, you're good. I have to watch them.
What if the next movie was The Mandalorian? The conclusion of The Mandalorian on a big screen.
Then I won't do that, but yeah, I'd watch it.
I mean, they could, and I watched an interview with Iger. He said that basically their approach to Disney Plus with both Marvel and Star Wars is that it's a storyteller. They could tell longer stories in Disney Plus, with broken up narratives. Like, essentially, Mandalorian Season 1 is like an 8.5-hour movie.
Yes.
And so they can do things with those, but he sees it all as a cohesive narrative because eventually you're going to watch it all on Disney Plus forever, essentially. That whether it comes out in the movie theaters for a little while or not, that movie will eventually be on Disney Plus for you to enjoy as the next part of the Star Wars saga. So if Mandalorian decided to do its conclusion as a movie in the theaters for 2 months, and then it would eventually end up on Disney Plus anyway, so you could wait it out.
But I heard Disney's already pulling films from Disney Plus.
Well, I haven't heard anything about that.
I just read today the pirate film has disappeared and something else has disappeared off Disney Plus. One of the pirates.
Is there Serbian?
Yeah, one of them has disappeared.
Well, hopefully it's the fourth one. Or the fifth one.
It was the fourth one because my son was looking for the pirate movies, and only four of them showed up on Disney Plus.
Okay, well, that's no one's loss.
Isn't there five of them?
Yeah.
So the fifth one's gone now, Ariel.
No, the fourth one.
Oh, the fourth one's gone? Stranger Tides?
Yeah.
So here's a fun thing for Canadians versus Americans. Canadian Disney Plus, we have all of the X-Men movies aside from Dark Phoenix. And we have all of the Fantastic Four movies. No, that's not a great bonus, but we have they've added all the Fox superhero movies. They still haven't put Daredevil and haven't put Ghost Rider up. But they have put all the X-Men and Wolverine and Fantastic Four films on Disney Plus Canada.
Well, because we don't get Hulu up here. We can't get them access to them where they dump them.
Right. And I see that Runaways is moving from wherever it is. Hulu is going to be shown on Disney Plus.
Sweet, I can finally see it.
So,
sorry, is that a superhero show?
Yes.
Yeah, it's based on a Marvel series. It's about a bunch of teenagers who are the children of supervillains, and they find out their parents are supervillains, so they take stuff from them, like weapons and so forth, and then they go on the run.
Oh, it sounds like The Descendants.
Yeah, very much so. Kind of like that.
Okay.
So, I have more news for you.
Okay, go ahead.
Apparently, as of today, Marvel owns the movie rights to Hulk and Namor. Again.
Hulk?
Yeah, so they can now do a Hulk feature film free of Universal.
Nice.
They paid off Universal for those rights. So they can do a Submariner film if they want to, and they can do another Hulk film.
Well, after watching Mark Ruffalo's last acting chop film, Dark Waters, he needs some money.
I heard that Dark Waters is good, but I haven't seen it yet.
Who's
saying? Well, you think, yeah, of everything.
It's not good. It's Aaron Brockovich light.
Okay, that's fair. I can see the comparison for that. That's what I thought when I heard about it.
But that's big stuff. I mean, essentially now they can do a Hulk feature film, which they haven't been able to do because of this Universal deal. They just didn't want to give Universal the money.
Is that why they haven't given? So that's why they teamed him and Thor together in Ragnarok.
Yes, essentially they told the Hulk story. They told the Hulk story by having him appear in other films in Avengers.
That's clever. That's a loophole.
Oh yeah, that's essentially what they told Universal. We're not going to be doing another Hulk feature film with you. We're going to instead use the Hulk as a supporting character because we have the right to do that.
And they're like, shh. Darn.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they may have gotten a little piece of it, but whatever the case, they've been paid off. And they also didn't do anything. They did Hulk movies, but they didn't do anything with Namor, so eventually those rights would revert back to Marvel anyway.
Okay.
Namor would be Marvel's Aquaman.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know who Namor was, so thanks.
So Aquaman actually is kind of derivative of Namor because he appeared first. And he's a World War II character. Basically, he's a guy, he's half Atlantean, and he can breathe underwater, and he can fly outside of water, and he's super strong.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh. So the rumor is that he's going to make his debut in either Black Panther 2 or Doctor Strange 2. And I don't know if you heard the other Disney Plus news. I keep throwing news at you guys.
Okay.
WandaVision is moving to this year. It was going to be next year. But WandaVision will be on Disney Plus in 2020 now.
Nice.
So we're going to get Falcon and the Winter Soldier in September and October. And then WandaVision November and December.
November, December? So another year almost.
Well, we're in January now, so 11 months.
Okay.
Yeah, and then same thing. Mandalorian Season 2 is going to debut sometime in that time period as well. In the fall. But in the meanwhile, Clone Wars debuts next month in mid-February.
And that's on Season 7, right?
Yeah, that's the concluding season. Because when they bought Lucasfilm, they canceled the show. Disney canceled it. So they had scripts and stuff in the works. So they've now given them the go-ahead to finish that stuff on Disney Plus.
Well, we'll see. Maybe I'll watch it after I finish, when I finish Phineas and Ferb.
Okay. The Phineas and Ferb Marvel movie?
No, I'm watching all the episodes from the beginning on.
They're doing another Phineas and Ferb movie, Simon.
Nice.
On Disney Plus.
I'm watching it.
I can't remember what it's called. Something to do with, I think Candace is in the title, so something to do with her.
So it's a full-length film?
I think so. Oh, like an hour and a half.
You can find an extra feature the next week it's out.
Yeah.
It's making the cut. Absolutely. Is there anything else? You guys got 6 minutes.
I just want to note, box office-wise, Rise of Skywalker is now at $918 million worldwide, $450 domestic. Who knows what it is after the weekend? And compared to Last Jedi was 1.1 $1.332 billion, 620 domestic. So there, it looks like episode nine is moving towards the $1 billion mark. It's not too far off. It'll probably hit it next week.
Oh, yeah. More money for the mouse.
Right.
No. You said it bombed in China. How much did it make?
I don't know, to be honest. I'd have to look.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, don't worry.
In China, let's see here. Oh, it says no data available. Let's see here. I can just see what the number one film in China for last week was, Ip Man. So they released Star Wars and Ip Man is massive in China.
Yes, it is.
So, and this is the finale of the Ip Man saga.
Oh, yeah, the fourth one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think Star Wars is number six.
Wow.
And it made $2 million.
Oh, so opening weekend in China, it only made $12.2 million. Right. So, yeah, that's a bomb. Holy crap.
So they're at $17 million. There's a movie called SWAT, which, no, that doesn't make more. So I'm just looking here. What's made more? No, Shaun the Sheep, no. Like, all right, Frozen 2, by comparison, Frozen 2 has made $116 million in China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That paints a picture.
Yeah.
Kind of curious. I'm going to see if I can find out real quick how much it made, how much Last Jedi made in China.
So Jumanji has 1 week on Star Wars, and it's at $40 million. In China.
Oh, my gosh.
But Star Wars films have never done well in China. Doesn't matter. All the films, I think Rogue One was probably the most successful. But of all the other ones, it's really.
Yeah. Last Jedi only did like $40 million overall in China. Why are they tailoring to them so much if it's only doing that?
Well, I don't know, because they still think it's a major market, and it is a major market. Like, Endgame was the number one film there. It just blew all records in China. So the fact that this worked, I mean, they're trying to appeal to that market all the time. So,
okay.
But I definitely could see a director's cut. They never do director's cut in Star Wars, but they could do another, like they could do more stuff on Disney Plus when it's finally released and show those extra sequences.
Yeah, just seems like a strange strategy when they have all these trends that doesn't do well in China. And they're like, oh, maybe it'll change.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just keep hoping that it will. So they keep making little tweaks to things with the hope that it might appeal to a Chinese audience. And just, you know, it doesn't ever seem to work. They just don't like Star Wars.
So what you're saying is The Rise of Skywalker needs a McClunky.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. McClunky, or whatever it is, is when he fires a Han Solo.
If they make it, we're out of here. If they make it,
McClunky.
We'll talk about it.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, thank you for listening. Could you please give us an iTunes review? And also, if you'd like to donate, please do so at our homepage.